Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios and against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves their soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy. I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. And against all better judgment, Nashville Sports Radio has given the Renegades of Puck access to the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. And we will take over this radio station whenever we feel the need to take over this radio station. And it took about 0.1 seconds to make the decision to water all Renegades out of those racks and into those trenches. Remember, you can always listen to this radio show live at 5 on game days. The takeovers will happen whenever they need to take over, so you'll have to follow us on Twitter for those cryptic middle-of-the-night orders at Predneck Nation. You can also go to WNSR.com. That gives you access to everything about this radio show, including links to buy merchandise. Support the radio station that supports hockey coverage in the mainstream media. Support the radio station that supports the Renegades of Puck and is in the trenches with us, giving us 100% creative freedom. That WNSR app, that's another easy way to support this radio station, completely free for you to download. And you can listen to this radio show anywhere in the universe. 560 AM, 95.9 FM throughout Middle Tennessee, 107.9 FM through Smyrna into the borough along I-24, and then, of course, 103.9 in Drakesboro, Kentucky, carrying us live all the way into the Clarksville area. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Predneck Nation Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and the Nashville Predators are on a three-game winning streak for the second time in recent history. The homestand is going well at this point, with the Nashville Predators coming away with a huge victory last night against the Calgary Flames. Now, the Nashville Predators have played 63 games on the season. They are 32-23-8. They have a total of 72 points on the season, with last night's game being a three-point game. The Nashville Predators still remain behind the Calgary Flames in the standings and hold wild card spot number two, but have played two fewer games than Calgary. The Winnipeg Jets also came away with a victory last night and remain at 72 points, but have played three more games than the Nashville Predators. And for the Arizona Coyotes, last night was about the worst night of scoreboard watching they could imagine, as everyone around them picked up points in the standings. The Coyotes still sit at 70 points. They have played 66 games on the season. Minnesota still alive in this thing at 69 points. And then the Blackhawks are right about at the cutoff spot around 64. For the Nashville Predators, their next game on the homestand will be against the Colorado Avalanche, only the second time this season these Central Division rivals have met. As a matter of fact, they will meet a total of three more times, including this game at Bridgestone Arena. Then they will face off one more time at Bridgestone Arena on March the 19th. Then on the 29th of March, the Preds will be going into Colorado. Six possible points on the line against the Avs the remainder of the season. And with the Nashville Predators sitting at 72 points, looking up, the Colorado Avalanche are 9 points ahead of the Nashville Predators, currently sitting in the number two seed in the Central Division. The Colorado Avalanche have skated in 62 games this season, 37 wins, 18 losses, 7 overtime losses. They have a total of 81 points. They're 5 points behind St. Louis and just 1 point ahead of the Dallas Stars for the 3 automatic qualifying spots in the Central Division for the Western Conference playoff bracket. Now, on the road, this Colorado Avalanche team is highly impressive. 29-2. That's right, 20 wins in regulation on the road this season. That is tops in the Western Conference. They have also scored 215 goals on the season. That is also tops in the Western Conference. They've only given up 168, a goal differential of plus 47. The last time these two teams met, the Nashville Predators took an absolute pounding. As a matter of fact, this Calgary-Colorado thing kind of works out as a reverse story, at least we're hoping, because remember, Calgary took the Preds soul on Halloween, and then the Preds went into Colorado and just got absolutely destroyed, giving up 9 goals to the Colorado Avalanche in a 9-4 drubbing. Pekka-Rinne, 17-22. Juuse Saros, 19-23. Donskoi scored the most goals for the Avalanche, getting the hat trick with 3. McKinnon had a total of 4 points in this game. So for the Nashville Predators, it is going to be a difficult opponent, but they got just absolutely blown out of the rink in Denver in that game. They need to make good on that one on home ice. Now, 16 wins on the regular season, 12-4 is the rest of the record. And for the Nashville Predators, the home record is starting to look a bit better because of this 3-game winning streak on this homestand and the recent uptick in the month of February overall. Goal differential, the Nashville Predators now plus 1 on the season, 202-201. And when you look at the rest of the homestand after the Colorado Avalanche, the Edmonton Oilers. So we will have 3 consecutive Western Conference playoff hopefuls in a row here at Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators, an incredibly good measuring stick. This Colorado Avalanche team is not to be taken lightly. They are a significant offense. 3.45 goals per game. That is third best in the NHL. Their goals against is 2.69. That is the 6th best defense in the league. They generate 32.7 shots per game while giving up 31.4. This is where the Colorado Avalanche are not quite as good as you might expect. On the power play, only the 20th best power play in the NHL. I would not expect this prolific of an offense to be a bottom third power play in the league. Their penalty kill is 17th in the NHL. Now, on this most recent stretch of hockey, it was the 17th of February, a 4-3 overtime loss versus Tampa Bay. That's a quality opponent right there and a quality hockey game. Another quality opponent in the New York Islanders, and they picked up the victory on home ice on the 19th. And then a couple of mediocre opponents in a row where, to be honest with you, I would expect the Colorado Avalanche to do significantly better. A 1-0 win at Anaheim, then a 2-1 shootout win at LA. Those games were back-to-backs on the 21st and the 22nd. Then on the 26th, it was a 3-2 win versus Buffalo. Now tonight, the Colorado Avalanche is in Carolina against the Hurricanes. We all know how good and difficult the Canes are to play against, so hopefully they will wear down the Colorado Avalanche before they have to jump on that quick plane and make the flight over here to Nashville in the Central Time Zone and get ready to face off against the Nashville Predators tomorrow. So the Nashville Predators do have the Colorado Avalanche set up in a spot where they could take advantage of them on the second night of back-to-backs. After all, the Predators know plenty about back-to-backs, and they'll know plenty more about back-to-backs the rest of the schedule. That's why the Predators have played fewer games than virtually everybody else in the Western Conference. They'll make those up on significant back-to-backs. And I mentioned the homestand closes up against Edmonton. After that, Minnesota on Tuesday, Thursday, Dallas, and then Saturday at Dallas. So a home and home with the Dallas Stars, the number three team in the Central Division coming up. And then a five-game road trip. That first game at Dallas, that starts a five-game road trip for this Nashville Predators team. As always, we come to expect that one. It is the SEC Basketball Tournament road trip, just like the CMA road trip. Well, this one in March is the SEC Tournament road trip. You can pretty much book it almost every year that tournament is in that arena. So for the Nashville Predators, their numbers, goals for 3.16 is 14th in the NHL. Goals against 3.14, 23rd in the league. The slimmest of margins, but goals for at least is getting above goals against again. 33.3 shots for per game and giving up 31. The power play still 25th in the NHL at 16.5%. And the penalty kill throws some celebrations and fanfare. They've moved up to 30th in the NHL. At least they're not 31st and dead last. Original 30 for life, everybody. When the Nashville Predators stats come in this morning, you see the captain, Roman Josi, has moved up to 15 goals on the season with 63 games skated. He's got 43 assists, 58 points, closing in on that 60-point mark, closing in on some significant career numbers, goals, assists, points, all of that stuff. And if he starts to heat up now, the Nashville Predators are going to be in very good shape over the final stretch of games this season. After all, he had gone a few games in a row without a point, but the Predators, and I think the captain, would sacrifice personal points for team victories, and that's what the Nashville Predators have been doing as of late. That is so much better. Phil Forsberg still leads the team in goals with 18, but that's kind of hard to believe because it feels like forever since dude has put one in the net, so much so that I have canceled February forever. Maybe it's just a leap year thing. I hope so, because if we get to February next year and he doesn't do something, then this team is going to be in a lot of trouble. Phil Forsberg needs to get back on the score sheet. He's still got a couple games left this month. Get himself up over 20. He is second on the team with 43 points. Matt Duchene, 12 goals and 27 assists, 39 points. I need a big run from him here at the end of the season. Ryan Johansson, 13 and 22 for 35 points. And then Ryan Ellison's getting back in the lineup. He is just absolutely on fire. 7 goals, 27 assists, 34 points now on the season, and just an absolute machine since getting back out there after 7 weeks off of the ice. Pekka-Rinne's been out the last couple of games with an illness. Connor Ingram got the chance to get the call up and sit on the bench, and now he'll be heading back to Milwaukee, where he will continue leading an incredible effort down there in the AHL. We will spend some time at some point. Everything has been so intense here in Nashville. We've not really had a chance to talk about Milwaukee, but I would do a quick rundown of what they are doing down there. They're putting up some incredible numbers. Tolvanen's actually starting to heat up a little bit, and Connor Ingram is having an awesome season for the Milwaukee Admirals. UC Saros is turning his season around very quickly, and the transition to becoming the franchise goaltender for the Nashville Predators is well underway. UC Saros, now the numbers starting to look a whole lot better than they did at any point this season. 34 games on the season. That's one less than Pekka-Rinne has appeared in. 14 wins, 10 losses, 4 overtime losses, a 2.92 goals against average, and a 906 save percentage. Starting to look a whole lot better. Of course, the Colorado Avalanche, Nathan MacKinnon, dominant player. Every time he touches the puck, every time he starts to skate with the puck, he is lethal. He is just about to do something that is highly impressive, and he keeps people on the edge of their seat. He is easily one of the best players and one of the best power forwards in the entire NHL right now. 62 games skated this season, 33 goals, 52 assists, 85 points on the power play, 10 goals, 19 assists, so 29. It was 85 points come on the power play. And you know how much Roman Josi loves to shoot? Well, Nathan MacKinnon likes to shoot even more. 287 shots on goal this season. Again, he is always prepared to take the puck and go the length of the ice on the offense, and he does everything at a five-star and beyond level. One of the best players in the NHL and one of the toughest opponents to face. And as you know, throughout this lineup, the Colorado Avalanche are loaded with good, young, hardworking talent. This franchise has been building and coming along for the last couple of seasons, ever since the Nashville Predators put them out in the first round a couple of seasons ago. Now they are looking like they are poised to make their first significant run in the Western Conference. The Nashville Predators will have three opportunities to go up against them the rest of the way, including on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Sorry, I had to take a drink there. It's dry in here. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, dusty. Got to work on that. Last night at Bridgestone Arena, the Nashville Predators had an opportunity to take on the Calgary Flames. Second time these two teams have played recently, and we all remember when the Calgary Flames were here at Bridgestone Arena on Halloween. Tkachuk took the Nashville Predators' hockey soul and took it right out of Bridgestone Arena because the Predators had had one of the finest months of hockey leading up to that point, and we all know how things went after that point. A coaching change, a whole bunch of issues, tears in the locker room after the Winter Classic. But here we find ourselves on the 27th of February in the year 2020, and the Nashville Predators are closing out the regular season series against the Calgary Flames. Oh, and I would love to play this team again. It would be spicy, no doubt about that. But of course, the only way for these two teams to play each other would be in a best of seven series in the playoffs. Going in, the coach looking to roll four lines. Get a look at these combinations. Blackwell, Johansson, and Sissons. Yarncroke, Duchesne, and Arvidsson. Forsberg, Turris, and Granlund. Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith on the D pairs. Josi and Ellis, Tenorti and Ekholm, Ham Hughes, and Fabro. Corbinian not in the lineup just yet. Thought he might get in for Tenorti in this game, perhaps against the Colorado Avalanche. After all, the Preds made a trade for him. He's out there, and I want to see what he can do. Is he an upgrade? We'll find out when he gets on the ice. Juuse Saros gets the start in net again for the Nashville Predators. A hugely successful game in Calgary on the most recent road trip, and he gets the opportunity to duplicate that performance on home ice against Calgary. We go to 4:39 of the first period, and Dante Fabro's got a shot, plus Kelly Yarncroke's got a rebound attempt, and both of those are saved by Big Save Dave at 8:11. Bennett's off to the box. 2 minutes for hooking. The Preds are able to get some good zone time on this opportunity. Forsberg does get one good chance, but really not a whole lot to take notes on. 11:09 of the first period. The teams have been feeling each other out for the first part of this period, and now the Calgary Flames are starting to assert themselves. Anderson beats Saros five hole. He was alone and had as much time as he wanted. Slides the puck through Juuse Saros, but it hits the post, and Nick Bonino, of course, always doing what's best for the team, throws himself into the splits in the crease, back kicks this thing off the goal line, and he prevents a goal, supporting his goaltender and helping the Nashville Predators keep this game at even on home ice. 12:51, Juuse Saros, a big save with the blocker on Tkachuk's rebound attempt. Then at 13:35, Juuse Saros has a big save on Gustavsson. Forsberg would miss the net at 14:13, the Predators' first good opportunity in a while as the shift continues on. 14:29, Colton Sissons is picking up his ninth goal of the season, but it is Blackwell doing the work behind the net. Significant play by this young man. He makes the pass from behind the goal line to Sissons in the slot, and Sissons is able to just slam this thing home, giving the Preds a 1-0 lead over the Flames on home ice. 1 second to go in the first period, and Juuse Saros has to come up with a save, and Josi is doing a good job of keeping Tkachuk boxed out to the side of the net, and Tkachuk already out there trying to cause problems. Roman Josi and Tkachuk battling all over the ice, and it is good to see Roman Josi playing hard, protecting the crease, the goaltender, and everything, because we know exactly what style Tkachuk plays out there. God knows you heard enough about it on the broadcast. 26 seconds into the second period, the Calgary Flames come out with the push. They tie the game. Anderson's got his fifth goal of the season. He beats Sissons to the top of the crease and redirects a pass right by Soros. This was some soft coverage by the Nashville Predators. This could have been an easy stick lift, stick check, or anything, but Colton Sissons was unable to make this play happen. We've got a tie game at Bridgestone Arena, and just a couple of minutes later, 3:48, Backlund makes it 2-1 in favor of the Calgary Flames. It was a shot from out high, and Matthias Ekholm, who you know almost always makes the right play, this time he does not, as he kicks at the puck and he does just enough to redirect it past UC Soros. Of course, unintentional, but still an awful play. It was a shot from long distance with no traffic. UC Soros could see it coming all the way. That is, in the NHL, the easiest stop for a goaltender. That is, of course, until your defenseman throws his skate in the way and redirects it into the net. Incredibly unfortunate bounce for Matthias Ekholm, for UC Soros, the Nashville Predators, and frankly, for all of us. Now the Calgary Flames have a 2-1 lead early in the second period at Bridgestone Arena. 5:21 of the second. Bonino stopped by Rittich from the low circle with the edge of the pad. I think Bonino was just a half inch away from putting the puck in the net right here. At 5:44, it was the Flames coming right back down the ice after that save, and Ryan hits the crossbar. This leads to an incredible scramble, and we were asking for months, where was the support around the crease, around the slot? Where was the D? Where was the help? Well, Ellis, Grimaldi, Bonino throwing their bodies all over the ice, lifting sticks, taking bodies, getting the job done to support their goaltender. And this allows, ultimately, UC Soros to cover the puck. We'll talk to Mastrodamas about this play in incredible detail coming up in a couple of minutes. A lot to unpack. I'll save that for the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. We hit the 6:53 mark. Duchesne's got a rush. It leads to a scoring chance, but Calgary just incredibly quick to respond in transition, and they've generated another scoring chance just within a couple of seconds. Now, we have seen some up and down hockey in the second period to this point. The Preds have generated 10 shots on net in just 9 minutes, but they are trailing 2-1 still. At 13:56, Tkachuk cross-checks Josi after an offsides. This leads to a large scrum, and I've got to tell you, this is one where the refs take the easy way out. I hate when they do this. They just even it up as two apiece for roughing, and they make it a 4-on-4. I could have been easily satisfied with Tkachuk getting a 2 for cross-checking, and then perhaps they each get some for roughing. A lot went on in the corner. There were headlocks. There were some gloves dropped, but, you know, there wasn't really a fight. Anyway, Tkachuk takes Josi off the ice for a couple of minutes. A very, very physical scrum right there in this game. The Calgary Flames were looking to assert their dominance on Bridgestone Arena ice. Good to see Roman Josi fighting back, pushing back. Tkachuk's a real pain in the ass out there. 14:29 of the second period. Duchesne hits the post off of the rush. We had the horn go off. We had the goal song start. We had all kinds of chaos and confusion, but it was pretty obvious it was Matt Duchesne just hitting the post. 15:05, Forsberg takes the puck along the goal line, protects it, shields himself, and goes for a scoring chance, but unfortunately, right at the last second, he is not able to put the puck onto the net. At 17 minutes even, UC Soros comes up with a huge save on Reeder off of the rush. Tenorti, good job clearing bodies right here. Again, the Predators did a good job of protecting UC Soros, knowing the Calgary Flames were going to come crashing the net hard, especially after whistles. It's the style that they play. 19:13 of the second period. Johansson gets two chances at close range off of the rebound. Good jam by him right here. Unable to make it go. We hit the end of the second period with the Preds down by one. The shots on goal in this game, now 27 for Calgary, 25 for Nashville. Preds go from 8 on goal in the first period to 25 on goal at the end of the second period. But unfortunately, fall behind in the game 2-1. At the 135 mark, UC Soros robs Reeder in close on Bennett's rebound opportunity. Scrum after the whistle again. Calgary looking to impose their will, but Bennett pushes it just a little bit too far and picks up a 2-minute penalty for roughing. The Nashville Predators only able to generate one shot on goal. As a matter of fact, I would rate this as the Flames having the better scoring opportunities, including a 2-on-1 while shorthanded. And then when Bennett comes out of the box, he immediately gets a good scoring chance. So over the course of this 2 minutes, the Calgary Flames actually generate a bit of momentum. Then once we get back to even strength at 4:25, Goudreau sets up Monahan from behind the net, and UC Soros is point blank making an absolutely huge save. Goudreau is a world-class distributor, and Monahan certainly knows how to finish. This was in the Flames' wheelhouse, and UC Soros comes up with the huge one. 5:31, Forsberg cuts through the D, goes for the scoring chance, and then when he doesn't get the goal, follows through to the corner and just absolutely buries one of the Calgary Flames players. At 11:57, UC Soros comes up with a huge poke check on Goudreau, circumventing an offensive opportunity. The captain of the Nashville Predators is taking things into his hands at this point. His 15th goal of the season off of a feed from Ellis, and then through the armpit, a big save. Dave, he couldn't squeeze it. It squeaks through, and Bridgestone Arena erupts because we've got a 2-2 hockey game in the third period, and the Nashville Predators are showing some resiliency with the captain leading the way. At 19:19 of the third period, the Nashville Predators with an abysmal line change, slow off the bench, slow into the play, with the Flames being as fast and good in transition as they are, they just knife right through the remaining Predators out there on the ice, and they convert on this as if it was the easiest thing in the world. A slow line change is deadly in any situation, but it is especially bad at this point in the game. The Predators fall behind with 41 seconds to go, 3-2 at 19:59.9. Of the third period, it is Mikhail Granlund tying the game at 3 apiece for the Nashville Predators. In the 6-on-5 scenario, for the first time in as long as I can remember, the Nashville Predators find success. It didn't look like they were even going to generate a shot on goal, and suddenly, in the final 10 seconds, a combination of the Preds and some jam, and the Calgary Flames kind of standing around, leads to Forsberg having the puck on his stick behind the net. I believe he tried to shoot off of the defenseman and bank it in as time was ticking away. After he fans on the shot opportunity, he makes a perfect pass to Granlund, who puts it in with absolutely no margin for error on this. 0.1 seconds left in the game. The Nashville Predators tie this game up at 3 apiece. They have earned a point. They have come back twice, including now with the empty net scenario. A 3-3 hockey game going into overtime, and the building is just absolutely rocking. Granlund, he ties the game up at the end of the third while he wins it in overtime. Now his 17th of the season. He takes the puck from his own blue line, travels through the neutral zone. The thing is bouncing all over the place. Clearly, it was an unwilling passenger on this trip to the back of the net, but Mikhail Granlund simply was too damn determined, and he saw this thing through as he finally gets the last touch of it clean. Puts it behind big save Dave, and the roof is absolutely blown off of this building. An incredible hockey game ends 4-3 in overtime in favor of the Nashville Predators. Calgary would outshoot Nashville 39-38. This hockey game had everything. These were two very good, very strong hockey teams, and while the Nashville Predators were largely outplayed on home ice for stretches of the first period and stretches of the second period, they showed the resilience that makes you fall in love with a club. They showed the kind of fight that makes the fans earn their stripes for the first time in a long time for sticking around and seeing it through to the bitter end. Only this time, it wasn't bitter. It was was oh so sweet. The Nashville Predators with a highly impressive victory. Ryan Ellis told us the other night from the bench after they beat the Ottawa Senators, we have a plan and it's starting to come together. Well, Ryan Ellis, welcome back to the team. I'm enjoying your plan. If you continue to have this type of fight in you, there is no doubt that the Nashville Predators will find themselves in the tournament going into the deep spring. Hopefully, we can continue to see this. The Nashville Predators have won 3 games in a row for the second time in the month of February. Impressive, fellas. I like it. Continue on. A measuring stick game coming up against the Colorado Avalanche next on home ice. 3 games left against the Avs, and they whipped your ass the first meeting of the season. You gave up 9. That ought to be motivation enough, but the playoffs are under your control and within your efforts. Continue on, fellas. Everyone's wanting to buy in, and you keep making this run, and we will all be able to come on down to Bridgestone Arena and buy in together. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. It's Predneck Nation Radio. Mostradamus coming up next. We'll look at the box score. We'll check in on some individual performances, and of course, we'll talk all things Nashville Predators right here on Predneck Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in. Predneck Nation Radio, my host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Ryan Ellis with 3 assists versus the Calgary Flames. 4 games since coming back from injury. 6 total points. He adds another 25.04. He is an Iron Man. What a welcome back to the lineup it has been. John Hines getting back a world-class defenseman for the first time these last 4 games. Of course, no doubt the Nashville Predators have been showing signs of improvement and success because of Ryan Ellis' return. Another great night for him. Here to talk to me about Ryan Ellis, UC Soros, and all things Nashville Predators hockey. He is the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation Radio. You can hear him on this radio show all season long. In the second period, he's a man so far ahead in the future, he can tell you everything that's going to happen between the Nashville Predators and the Colorado Avalanche after he gives you analysis on everything that happened last night between the Preds and the Flames at Bridgestone Arena. Mostradamus, how you doing today, my friend?
Yawn, Charlie. Just another Calgary-Nashville game in Bridgestone.
Hey, man, you said it yesterday. Anything can and anything will happen when these two teams get together on a weeknight in Smashville. And it took me about 1/10 of a second, Mostradamus, to decide to take over the Goggin Coldhall Studios at Nashville Sports Radio to talk about this one. Because a night like that, it's just fun to come in, break down, talk about, and go through the entire thing. With 1/10 of a second left in the game, Mikhail Granlund gets the game-tying goal. Mostradamus, of course, let's start right there. Look to me like Philip Forsberg was trying to bank it in off the defenseman. Luckily, fans on it because the right play is what ended up happening. Get it to Granlund in perfect position to slam it home for the tie.
Great play by Forsberg, but this all starts with Ryan Ellis on the half wall. Ryan Ellis has the puck. He knows there's only a few seconds left. His first shot gets blocked. He gets blocked right back at him. There's 2 Calgary Flames blocking his path to the net. So what does he do? He sends it towards the traffic about 3 feet wide of where the net is. He knows there's a lot of bodies in front of the net. Luckily for them, of course, it goes off a skate, kind of scramble ensues after that. Forsberg retrieves the puck behind the net. Like you said, he absolutely tried to bank this one in. He knew there was only a couple seconds left. Didn't happen. Got it towards the front of the net. And Granlund, stick down on the ice, make sure that he tucks it home just before the buzzer. That all started with Ryan Ellis again, having the presence of mind, having that hockey IQ that we talk about all the time with him, and saying, you know what, the shot's not there. I've got to get it at least towards the front of the net somehow. And there was a path to get it over there with where the bodies were. And all chaos ensued after that. Preds get a goal.
Mosh, before I even move on to the next point right here, here's how you know the Preds are trending upward. Over my shoulder in the Gog and Cold Hall studios, Barry Melrose and Linda Cohn on ESPN talking Nashville Predators hockey and talking about them scoring with 0.1 seconds left to tie the game, just like you're talking about it. That's how you know that the Nashville Predators are trending in the right direction. We move into overtime, and it's Mikael Granlund again. Mosh, he did this thing all by himself. He took the rush. He handled the D, a bouncing puck. He beat the goaltender, and he becomes just the fourth player in NHL history to score the game-tying goal in the final 10 seconds and the game winner in overtime. He's thrown this team on his back ever since John Hines has been here. Throws up another 18:58 in time on ice, and just impressive to see the way he finished the last couple minutes of this game.
11 goals overall since John Hines has taken over in 22 games. I mean, really phenomenal job by him. Again, at the end of regulation, then in overtime, 2-on-2 rush. We know the 3-on-3. There's a lot of space out there. He tries the saucer pass over across. It didn't happen. Got caught up in the defenseman's skates, but he finds it and says, you know what? I'm 15 feet from the net in the slot. I'm taking this shot. A little bit of a knuckle puck, but it goes in. And, of course, Dave Riddick's stick was none too happy about that as it got broken in half afterwards. But phenomenal performance. Stuck with it. It's very easy 3-on-3. When the play doesn't go your way, it's very easy to say, oh, crap, I got to get back now because I don't have possession of the puck. No, he stays with it. Knew the defenseman was in trouble because he couldn't find the puck. Went after it and puts the puck in.
This team came into Bridgestone Arena earlier in the season and left with the Nashville Predators hockey soul. It was one fantastic month of October that had us all thinking it was going to be another wash, rinse, repeat of the last couple of seasons. Since then, of course, we all know how bad it went, including giving up 9 to Colorado just after that Calgary game. Mikael Granlund last night reverses the curse. He takes exactly what happened to the Predators at Bridgestone Arena and this time does it to the Calgary Flames. We all remember it was Tkachuk that scored the tying goal and the game winner in overtime with style points, and now Mikael Granlund responds and the Nashville Predators trending up reverse that curse and take their hockey soul back from the Calgary Flames on home ice.
And you go back to that October game, I mean, it was such a wild game because up to that point, the Preds, through two periods and the previous four games, had given up a total of 4 goals in those 4-plus games. And they ended up giving up 4 goals in the third period and overtime combined to lose that game against Calgary. So that tells you how good the Preds were playing up to that point. And then that game just totally, like I said, it broke the Preds, including Pecorine. He was never the same for the next 3 months after that. The team overall, terrible in their own zone, terrible in front of their own net. And, the goaltending could not save them all the time. And it was, unfortunately, a terrible trend for several months before their recent play here as of late over the last month. So turnabout is fair play. The Preds finally get one over on Calgary. A rare home ice win, it seems, between these two teams. It seems like the road team tends to have the advantage when these two teams face off against each other. But very sweet win, sticking it to Tkachuk and the rest of the Flames.
We talked about it for weeks, what it would be like for John Hines to get to put Ryan Ellis's name out there on the roster sheet. And now he's got to be just as impressed as all of us are in getting to see Ryan Ellis. He's gone beyond returning to his regular season form since coming back into the lineup. Mastrodamus, 3 assists in this game. You've already talked a little bit about his play. 4 games since coming off of injured reserve, 6 total points. He adds another 25.04 in time on ice. He's been an iron man. He's been highly impressive in each and every zone out there on the ice. And Mastrodamus, he says that they've got a plan and it's coming together.
Does it effortlessly, almost, it seems, when he's out there. He's playing, like you said, for the first time in 7 weeks, and he's out there skating his normal 23 to 25 minutes a night like it's no big deal. And the plays he makes, really, I mean, we talked about it the other night, what he did against Ottawa, some of the defensive plays he made. And I think you may have talked to Philip Forsberg, because Forsberg did the exact same thing last night against Calgary on a 2-on-1, slid all the way across, took away any pass and any shot opportunity while Calgary was shorthanded. So impressive play by Forsberg. Took a page out of the book of Ellis there. But Ellis, I said it before, before he got hurt, he was right there with Roman Josi as far as scoring points on this team. 5 points in the last 2 nights on home ice. Huge performance by him again. You don't expect your defenseman to put up that many points, but it's just a bonus when he does, because we know how sound he plays in his own zone. He's putting up numbers offensively as well to generate some goals for the Preds. And right now they need every bit of it, because they don't have a top goal scorer. They have a lot of high-paid players. You have a cluster of players, 13 to 18 goals on this roster. Nice balanced attack overall. Ryan Ellis certainly helping out in that.
His ice time was the leader for the Nashville Predators of all skaters. His shots on goal at 4 were second most, tied with Forsberg and Granlund. Leading the team in shots on goal in this game was the captain, Roman Josi. Josi also missed 4 other shot attempts. While the Nashville Predators were largely outplayed in this game, the way they came back towards the end, Roman Josi was a big part of that push, and that's what you expect out of your captain. Mastrodamas, the first time he's gotten on the score sheet in a while. First time he's picked up a point in a couple of games, but that goal, highly impactful, very important, and his 24-35 of time on ice, also important. He battled Tkachuk all night long.
Goes back to, again, Ryan Ellis setting him up on that. Ellis could have taken a shot. There was a guy in front of him who probably wouldn't have gotten through, but Josi, fresh off the bench, comes in, skating in with speed, and feeds it over to him perfectly. What little bit of room there was on that 7 hole on Dave Rittich. I mean, it seemed like it was closed off, but it managed to squeak through. And you saw Riddick's reaction after that, the fact that puck got by him. He was none too happy about it. But Roman Josi, again, he was due. He's been taking 4, 5, 6, 7 shots every single game on net, not being able to find it. Finally, his first goal in 2 months. It's ridiculous to think about with as well as he's played. But fantastic, again, getting that late goal, huge goal. We've seen it before. Saw it in Ottawa a couple of months back, where he basically took the team on his back and says, no, we're getting at least a point out of this game. So good job by him to find a little bit of a hole on Rittich, get the game tied up there. And again, fighting Tkachuk all night long in the process. You knew with the home ice advantage, you're going to stick Josi and Ellis out there against that Tkachuk line. Obviously, being the agitator out there trying to get Josi some penalty time, it happened. I didn't agree with it, that it was just 2 minutes each for roughing. But you saw Tkachuk. He's no dummy. I mean, as much as it's infuriating to watch him, when Tenorti challenges him, he stepped down pretty quick. When it's Roman Josi out there and he knows he can give his team a bit of an advantage with Josi in the penalty box, he's more than willing to mix it up a little bit.
Nah, he's got a little Claude Lemieux in him. He's intelligent about the way he does it, and it's infuriating, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be, because he's also a very high-skilled hockey player at the same time that he's doing all of those things. Every single bit of it is very much intentional and part of his game plan. Blackwell, we spent some time talking about him just yesterday. The point streak continues. 2 more assists in this game, and what a setup of Colton Sissons. Man, I like this guy, and he's really becoming a fan favorite very quickly.
That play, that was very impressive because, again, last minute of the first period, looked like he was just going to shuffle the puck over to Johansson in the corner, but he read the play well. The defenseman skated right by him, so he pivoted, went around, saw Sissons driving the net, and feeds it perfectly right onto his tape. So, it's again, that's not a play you expect from a guy who's kind of wavering as far as even getting dressed for games, let alone somebody who's, you know, making $8 million a year. But fantastic play by him. And again, they found some sort of chemistry. Again, John Hines pushing the right buttons, getting the right combination of players out there. When you have a guy like Blackwell, you don't think Blackwell and Johansson would work well together, but it certainly worked over the last few games. And then you throw Sissons out there. Sissons contributing offensively for the first time, and it seems like forever. So that seems to be working very well. And again, balanced scoring. So if you're the other team, who are you trying to shut down? Because Benito Smith and Grimaldi line all the time, that line has cooled off a little bit at least. But again, those guys are out there always challenging. You have that new Turris, Forsberg, and Arvidsson line seem to be clicking pretty well. Duchesne coming around, getting some offensive chance and not quite putting it in. There's a lot of offense on this team and a lot of good mixture of talent put out there by John Hines.
Mastrodamas, I saved UC Soros for last to talk about in this game, because you just go across the stat line, 36 of 39, but when you analyze the types of saves he made in this game, he had everything you can think of for a goaltender, including more, and I'll leave those details for you, but he made technical saves. He made fantastic saves. He made athletic saves. He got help from his defense. The Predators supporting the goaltender was highly impressive to see, and UC Soros continues putting up big-time performances. And Mastrodamas, let me ask you, you ever throw your bare hand out there and cover a puck for a whistle?
I've lost my glove on occasion. I don't know if it's been my blocker or not, but I've definitely lost one of them on occasion. When I saw his blocker going to that, I thought it was his basket first with that mad scramble in front. But obviously his blocker and then goes out there. That is not a safe play to do. I wouldn't suggest that to any goaltenders out there. If you lose your blocker, to put your hand on the ice, when there's razor blades, at least probably six or eight of them out there scrambling for that puck. Good job by him again. He was simply remarkable out there. I mean, obviously that play, and he did get some support. Bonino stopped the sure thing goal, actually stopped two of them. Hanfu stopped the sure thing goal on a centering pass in front, blocked that one off with his skate, stop a goal. So, again, I've talked to people about this. It's a different game when you're a goaltender and you're confident that your team is buying in and your team is going to support you in front of the net. You can play with confidence and know that they have your back out there. We saw it again on that mad scramble in front when Ryan hit the crossbar and everybody basically within 5 feet of each other scrambling around trying to keep that puck out of the net. And you saw Ryan shaking his head, looking up to the heavens, wondering how that puck never crossed. But again, off the crossbar, Saros again, Bonino out there tying up Ryan's stick on a rebound attempt. Saros getting his pad out there to make sure it doesn't go in. And, of course, the barehanded grabbing of the puck with everybody in front. So Saros seeing the puck incredibly well, reading the play incredibly well. And when he's in his zone right now, he's one of the best out there.
Mastrodamus, the Colorado Avalanche are a measuring stick game. They are most certainly one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They will be in the playoff tournament for sure, and they put a pounding on the Nashville Predators when they came to Denver for the first meeting of the season. Three games to go against this Central Division rival. That means 6 points on the line. The separation not impossible. Mastrodamus, what do the Nashville Predators need to do at Bridgestone Arena to keep the winning streak going and also keep the Colorado Avalanche from getting away with scoring a ton of goals again?
That last game, of course, will be in the back of their minds. Obviously, it was under a different coach, but the players were all there. They know what happened in Colorado that night back in early November. So huge motivation for the Preds. Colorado, though, as was Calgary. Calgary had won six out of the last seven road games going into last night. Colorado's won six in a row on the road. So, again, very, very difficult team. Again, you think, you know, Colorado, the home ice, the thin air and whatnot, that's where they make their hay. Winning six in a row on the road, certainly impressive for Colorado. Difficult game again. Second of back-to-backs, though, for Colorado, so I think the Preds should have an advantage in that aspect. Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena hasn't exactly gone the Preds' way that often this season. I expect a very close game. Colorado has won six in a row, but they've been winning almost all of them by one goal. Close game, Preds, you hope for a point, and of course, best-case scenario to get 2 points. I'm not so worried about catching Colorado as it is keeping teams like Arizona, Winnipeg in the rearview mirror.
And they'll have an opportunity to take on some of those teams head-to-head. The Edmonton Oilers also are a factor in this because of the closeness of the Pacific Division. You never know which of those teams is going to end up in the race with the Nashville Predators for the wild card. So the Oilers will come in after Colorado to close the homestand. And then Minnesota, Dallas, two times. That's going to be another very important home-and-home against the Central Division rivalry. Mastrodamus, we got a lot of Preds hockey to talk about, and it's starting to get really interesting and possibly even very exciting. I look forward to talking about each and every one of these games with you. Monday morning, we'll be previewing the Edmonton Oilers. We'll be recapping the Colorado Avalanche. Appreciate you going a little extra minutes with me this morning.
Always a pleasure, everybody. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your hockey.
Mastrodamus right there. You can catch him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's always up for the interaction. Predneck Nation Radio originates from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. We've rocked and rolled so hard in the first two periods, we're going to send out the 1-3-1 strangle the clock of the third and go ahead and wrap this thing up with a big, huge victory. We've already built up that big lead. After all, hockey trench warfare dominates sports talk radio any day of the week.
I'm Pete Weber of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Yeah, the hell with your formatics. I'm blowing it up. It's a Prednik takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. They made the mistake of giving me a key to the building. They made the mistake of giving me the alarm code and supporting the Renegades of Puck's efforts of hockey trench warfare in the nuclear age. That's what we do here, Renegades of Puck. Appreciate each and every one of you jumping out of the racks, getting into the trenches. Of course, you can do that with us every game day, 5 a.m. Encore presentations at 6, the only radio show on morning and afternoon drive. After all, this is the number 43 market in the entire United States of America, and the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches. Morning, noon, night, it doesn't matter. We'll take over this radio station whenever we need to. If it's 1:27 in the morning and I feel like talking about the Nashville Predators, well, guess what? That's what I'm going to do. We set the tone. We just don't tell you exactly when it's going to be. That's why you need to be following us on Twitter at Predneck Nation. We will put some cryptic things out there, which will let you know Perhaps you should be listening on the WNSR app or WNSR.com, because when the Renegades jump in the trenches, you know you're going to get the complete unfiltered truth. There's a lot of programming out there. Some of it is highly entertaining. Some of the personalities you may really enjoy. But you are smart, Renegades. Enjoy it at your pleasure, but know what the origination of the sources are. Know where the money comes from. Know who these people are connected to. And then understand you can come here for the actual unfiltered truth and strong opinions. Strong style hockey happens here as well as hockey trench warfare. The Renegades of Puck. That's what we do here at Predneck Nation Radio. We appreciate each and every one of you for jumping in the trenches with us. And if you're not sure if you're a Renegade, it's a real easy test to take. Just think to yourself for a second, do I love the glorious sport of hockey? You do. Yep. Do you love the Nashville Predators? That's the topic we talk about 97% of the time right here on Predneck Nation Radio. You do. You do. Yeah. Do you have opinions? Are you unafraid to share those opinions? Do you have a personality? Of course you do. You're a Renegade of Puck. Then I certify you right now on these airwaves of Nashville Sports Radio from the Gotten Cold Hall Studios and from the trenches before the sun even comes up. You are indeed a Renegade of Puck. Jump in with us each and every game day and follow along. It sure is one hell of a ride, and it's the best time of year, and this Nashville Predators hockey team is looking to make a run. Trending in the right direction at the right time. John Hines checklist continues. Now, they scored a 6-on-5 goal. They tied it up, and they won it in overtime. Another 3-game winning streak. Let's do something that hasn't been done. Let's get a 4-game winning streak going now. Let's win the measuring stick game against the Colorado Avalanche. Let's come out and put on a dominant performance on home ice in front of the home crowd on a Saturday night in Smashville. For Mostradamus and each and every one of you, Renegades of Puck, I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia, and against all better judgment, Nashville Sports Radio has supported this 1,000%.